So we're on to a quasi brand new topic, which we'll probably spend a couple weeks on because there's a lot to say. Let's just read the Gemara and read the Gemara slowly and like teasing out what's being assumed by each line, and then we'll jump into the Shona. But the Gemara really should take us the bulk of our time, and we'll work out the longest. So, anybody want to take it? Other than Adam, because Adam's going to take it too fast. And I need someone to do it slow. Let's read it out.
All dear.
All right.
Slowly.
You win. But do it slowly.
I actually don't like this Gemara. That one's just a little hard for me.
It's a hard Gemara.
Oh, it's in, wait.
What? Right. Ayin. So we're starting on Ayin Amud Aleph. The first line. Amri Nehardai.
Amri Nehardai, look at Midan Orchata Amatatli. Don't write a Orchata, or that is,
right.
Which explains Harsha, Amatatlin.
Okay, so what is Harsha?
It seems to be some type of document allowing another person to collect on behalf of another.
Exactly, right. So you write up a shtar, and the guy is going to use this to collect on your behalf. What concept does that sound like? Sounds like shlichus, right? You're empowering this guy to act on your behalf. Okay, so you can't write an orchasa on metaltali. Meaning, what can you write it on?
Perfect.
Right. Okay, good. Let's figure out why that is.
So, Ashi la Mema. My time is so I'm relaying Yishum to Rav Yochanan, because Rav Yochanan says to Amar Yochanan, Gazal, lo nitash ha-ba'alim, Shnehen inan yecholim lahakish. Both of them can't be makishit. Zelefi sheino shalo, zelefi sheino
bershuto.
Okay. Very interesting.
Is this what you'd expect, or is this surprising?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you would think that this would explicitly allow you to do what a similar, as in this is being used as, first of all, it's a different context, but secondly, like
what do you mean different context?
Where, as in, it's just a completely, they're using this as precedent to allow you not to do something that seemingly the Orkata would, like, exactly allow you, like, to skirt this problem, if that makes sense.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Someone else
say
that, because I don't know how to make
it. You think it's different from, like, yeah.
No, like, no.
What was Rabbi Yochanan's original halacha about? What was the concept that was operating behind what he had to say?
It seemed to be bilus.
Like there's a case of gzela.
Exactly, right? So
which
when
is not necessarily what we're talking about here, but then it might be according to Tosafot.
100%, right? So all we know from Rabbi Yochanan is when something is stolen from you, you cannot make it happen.
Yourself. As in you, like, I'm saying that this is saying that you can't yourself affect the status of something. Actually, no, never mind, but I would say it doesn't make sense.
Well, this is about, like, this is about, you know, getting it back. It's not really about...
Well, exactly.
Right.
It's still affecting the status of it, so in that case, it is a parallel.
So, how are you affecting the status of it in this case?
You're changing the ownership. You're changing the physical, as in
you're trying to...
What you're trying to do in the case of the Gemara on Ayin is you're trying to, like, change the physical rishut of it through physical means.
Right. But so I'm only trying to change... If I'm only trying to change the physical rishut and I'm not trying to change the legal ownership, then that seems to be different, right?
But it depends what side of the chakir we fell on last week.
Okay, good.
Maybe in that, like, how much does the physical, like... having it in your physical reshoot actually influence, like, how much it is in your legal reshoot as well, kind of. So
right.
Maybe.
Also, it calls into question, how much is this shlichus?
Yeah, we both of you are saying is definitely correct. Let's put it this way. If Rabbi Yochanan's halacha, as we talked about, was only a halacha relevant to when you have a rival, when you have the ganav who is reducing your ownership through his rival ownership, right, then invoking Rabbi Yochanan makes no sense unless the case we're talking about here is a case of Gneva, right? Even if we say that Rabbi Yochanan wasn't talking about geneva reducing the bilis of the nignav. Rabbi Yochanan was just a halacha that when something's not in your physical control, that limits what you can do with it. So why would limiting what I could do with it have anything to do with making a shliach? Right? If harsha is just, I'm making this person a shliach to get my stuff for me, why can't I do that, even if Rabbi Yochanan just said, you can't do things to stuff which is not in your control. Okay, so I can't give it to Hekdesh. I can't transfer ownership to Hekdesh. I can't make it hefker. I understand that. But why can't I appoint a shliach to get it back for me? Right? So it's a puzzling line in the Gemara, if we assume, as we assumed when we first read the first line, that Harsha is just making the guy a shliach, which is what he seems to be. Okay, so that's point number one, right? The first explanation of why you can't do Harsha on Metaltalin is unclear. And as pointing out, it's unclear which Metaltalin are being referred to. So that we got to wonder about that as well.
Oh.
Okay. Keep going. Weird time.
Do my best. Can you find the spot? Here we go.
Ika d'amri.
Okay, Ika d'amri, those who say, explain that a different way. Amri nadai, aluka divina bachata metatle de chapre, on which was already protested in court and the guy was told it's not free to take from him. Time up.
So, yeah, what is the literal translation of de chapre?
It's like bet kapara.
Denial,
right? The kofar, right? So kofar bakol, right? The denier. So what's being denied?
The right of the person who wants to collect the land to collect the land. Meaning the person who has possession of it was proved to not have had that possession.
Well, he's just, he's...
Is it proven in court already?
Is it proven?
Oh,
it's just
no.
He said it?
Right, he's just denying, right? He says, you know, I don't have your object. By the way, according to Rashi, what object are we talking about? Yeah, exactly.
Pikadon,
right? According to Rashi, we're talking about a pikadon. Okay, let's keep that in mind also. Okay, so if the nifgad, right, or the ne'eman, as Rashi calls him, it's kind of ironic because we're calling him a ne'eman, right? He's a trustworthy individual, but apparently not. Right, he's a fake Naaman. So if he denies that such a thing ever happened, so then you can't do a harsha. Why can't you do harsha if he denies it? Says the Gemara.
But time out to chapre. The mystic is shika because it's going to look like they're signing whoever signing on the kochata are signing us in that sheker.
Right. Why does it look like it's sheker?
Because it looks like it was already proved to be incorrect.
Right, because Reuven is telling Shimon, you know, go get my pikadon from Levi. But what pikadon, right? And like the court records, and Levi says that there is no such thing. So it looks like you're signing on to a lie. And when writing shtaros, right, we're extremely sensitive to anything which looks false. Okay, so according to the second version of Nardai, do we have a fundamental problem with harsha'os?
No.
Apparently not, right? Only a pragmatic problem of mechzei kashikra. And therefore, if you have a case which isn't mechzei kashikra, i.e. Exactly, when there's no denial, so then Nardai is going to be totally on board, right? So we're going to have to... We already have to clarify what the first position of Nardai thinks at all, and how that fits with Rabbi Yochanan, and then we have to figure out what the two positions of Nardai are arguing about, right? Because it seems like a pretty fundamental machlokas here.
Question.
Okay.
What does Rashi mean by the Nema the Beaten?
Which do you remember asking?
The Kabre.
Im Tav E Mafkid Lenaman Bebezdin. So the Mafkid already sued the Nifgad in court for his object, the Kafrabo. And then in the court, the Nifgad denied possession of the Pikado.
So was there no Maskana in the Beaten? It was already proven in court.
Correct. Apparently there's no maskana in, you know, he didn't have any witnesses, and so the case was dismissed.
Interesting.
And now he's going to try again. And if I send, you know, a big scary guy as my worship instead, right, maybe he'll listen to him if he doesn't listen to me.
Okay.
Okay, so now it continues the Gemara, right? So, time with the kafre, the mechzei kashikra, aval.
Lo kafre, katvina, you should write it. We will write it.
Okay, so right, so just explicitly, the second version of Nardai has no problem with a harsha, assuming there was no denial of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you don't write no chata, go get a judge or get a judge.
Right, go fight in court.
Go fight in court, bizarre, and win it. Upkeep with nashka and take it for yourself.
Exactly.
Late bay mashasha. It doesn't have any substance to it.
Excellent.
My time. What's the reason? Mishum de amrle hechla b'adibarim b'diyah. But I'm not the person who you're trying to collect from. Because say I'm not really the person you're supposed to come and collect from. So
I'm going to buy. Or the other way around, right? You're not the person. Lav bal
vrim.
Amar leheich, the other person, right? Okay. The guy who's holding on to the object will tell the morsha.
Mm-hmm.
Again, right? The morsha being the one who has been given the harsha. He's the agent.
Mm-hmm.
So what will he tell the morsha?
So heich lav bal vrim. You're not really the true owner of the object for you to come try to collect it.
Right. You're not my relevant. You're not a relevant party to the conversation.
Maybe he was just like Moda.
What?
He's pretty much just Moda.
He is Moda. Yeah, 100%. But what's his? Why isn't he giving the guy the object?
Because it's not the guy's object.
Yeah. So, what seems to be the point of this line in the Gemara? Right, this statement of Nardai, that you can't, a Morsha doesn't have recognized status as a relevant party unless the Shtar says, go acquire the object for yourself.
He seems to say that Shlichus doesn't work. You have to be acting as a party.
Right, so you have to be a real owner of the object, let's say, right? Just being a Shliach is insufficient. And so, if we have to define the Morsha, right? Because, like, what's the Chakira as far as how we define the Morsha, right? We're going to have two kind of extremes. We can say, is the Morsha a Shliach, or is the Morsha
an owner,
right? So this line in the Gemara, if you think that the Morsha is an owner, is something that you're going to underline and double underline and triple underline, right? If you're not an owner of the object, the guy doesn't have to give it back to you. Now, if Harsha makes you an owner, then we can begin to understand the first version of Rabbi Yochanan, the first version of Nardai, right? Why can't you make someone a Morsha if the object is not in your possession? Because we'll say, based on Rabbi Yochanan, that you can't transfer ownership of things that are not in your possession, right? If we hold like the second version of Nardai, then it's going to be interesting, because then it seems like we're not concerned for Rabbi Yochanan, even though we think that the Morsha is an owner, according to the second version of Nardai. So why would that be? Why would I think that the Morsha... Even in the second version, right? Nardai is talking the whole way through. The only person in the Gemara who's saying Dinam is Nardai. Nardai told us in the second edition, in the second version, that the reason why Harsha'a doesn't work in a case of denial is because of Mechzika Shekra. But fundamentally, according to the second version of the Gemara, Nardai is very happy for you to make a Morsha. Even though Nardai, in the very next line, says that Harsha'a apparently requires transfer of ownership. So why would the second version of Nardai say at the same time Harsha'a is transfer of ownership, but Rabbi Yochanan is perfectly happy with you doing this even though it's not in your rishas, right? That's another question to figure out. Yeah. What?
If
it is transfer of ownership, then why should we care that it looks like it's why should we care that the Machzi Kishikra?
Well, it still looks like a lie. Transferring
ownership. We're not going to allow an owner of an object to go to court to even.
Yeah, I thought that was the most confounding of the three Omar Nardai's.
Uh-huh.
But like, so what if it was?
But especially if you say like he is now an owner.
Right, exactly. So what if he's not unarmed? Like, so what if the guy's cold?
Well, so apparently because we have, if you're going to be a witness to a, and if you're going to write Rashi and the Rashi Dimaras called Demechsi, right? So what are the first two words that Rashi says there on Demechsi?
Demechsi de Chatmina Ashikra, that we wrote.
Not we wrote.
That was written.
Nope.
Oh, he signed. Sorry, signed.
They signed. They signed something not true. So who's running into a problem here?
The Edom.
The Edom, right? So Edom, you should not be signing onto a star that you do not know 100% is true. That's like a what?
It's pretty nifty.
Yeah, very nifty.
But then, in any case, in any case where there is ever a hashash, in the case where we say Edom shouldn't sign,
maybe. I don't know what would be a parallel case.
What are the Edom signing for in this situation? What exactly is the status of someone signing our shah? Are they signing testament that someone owns an object, or are they signing if this person actually owns the object and this person has transferred partial ownership of this other?
They're case? Saying we the undersigned, the undersigned witnessed the marsha empower the morsha to get his stuff back. Right? And That's what the shtar, and apparently it'll be written in there, right? Zil dun vizachi vapik lenafshach, right? We witness the marsha. Tell the marsha zil dun vizachi vapik lenafshach. Mm-hmm. So,
but for someone to have signed on that shtar, wouldn't it not also be that they would have had witnesses that the person actually owns?
Yeah. No. Why? I never saw Betsy the cow in my life. You're claiming that that Yehuda has Betsy the cow, which belongs to you, and that you're empowering Shimon to go get Betsy the cow.
Okay, so
never saw Betsy the cow, but we saw you empower your agent to get Betsy
so
the
then,
cow.
So then, in such a case, then even more so, why should we care if it looks like Sheker? Well, which part looks like Sheker? It looks like Sheker that the person actually owns that object. Fantastic, but they're not signing that the person owns the object. They're signing that this other individual has Rishus now go and try to claim that object on behalf of the other individual.
But implicit in the assumed in the document is that there is such an object.
But then they would have to have been agent to that object as well.
They wouldn't have to be, according to the strict letter of the law. Because all we're being witnesses to is that you're empowering this Morsha. Right, we have no idea if the case is true or not. What we do know is that you empowered the Morsha. We saw you empower the Morsha to get your stuff back. We don't know if the stuff exists, but we know that you empowered the Morsha.
Then why is there a problem? If they're all
because kind of implicit in the shtar is that Betsy does exist, and we have a very high requirement for Edom. Right, we take shtaros extremely seriously, and you should only sign as a policy thing. You should only sign on the shtar if you know that everything in it is 100% true.
It's midin policy. Oh, which makes sense according to us.
I think it has to be midin policy. This isn't a din d'oraisa. It's a merci kashikra is a policy problem. Right? Okay. So we're good, right? This line in the Gemara seems to emphasize that Harsha is not just a shliach, and then we're going to want to figure out what's going on with Rabbi Yochanan and this line of the Gemara. Okay. Now, Amar Abaye.
Amar Abaye. V'i ketiv bei lemechsa. Half of it. Mishlish, for a third of it. Rebbe, for a fourth of it. Migu. It's a Migu. Why? Dimishtai dina apalga, mishai dina kula. Since you go for half of it, you go for the whole thing. I don't understand that Migu.
Yeah, so this isn't exactly,
it's like the Migo like having like Kedusha.
This is just Migo, which means since, right? The translation of Migo is since.
Like a literal
Migo. Exactly. So since you can sue the other guy for the half, the third, or the quarter. Right.
Since you could sue him for part of it, you could sue him for the entire thing.
Exactly. So what's Abaye doing here? First of all, if you read the Gemara carefully, does Abaye seem like he's arguing with Nerdai or that he's adding to Nerdai?
Arguing. So I'm
arguing. Why do you think so?
You can't
go wrong.
So.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong because you could say it right. Why do you think arguing?
I think that this is like I think the Avik is like. Take it for yourself, all of it, probably. And this is saying, maybe even if it's less than that.
Right. Do I need to have a toehold in the whole object? right? Do I need to have relevance to the whole object, or is it enough for me to have just like a toehold, right? If I'm relevant to a part of the object, then says Abaye, right? Once I'm kind of in the door, as a bilim in the case, now I can sue for the whole thing. So you know, maybe Nardai disagrees. Nardai thinks that you need to be a real owner on the entire object, and none of this quarter, third, or a half. If you're a quarter, a third, or a half owner, then you can sue for a third, a quarter, or a half. You can't sue for the whole thing. That's one possibility. Textual argument to argue that Abaye is not arguing with Nardai. Any deal can we can make? He's not arguing with Nardai.
You go based off just the Lashon.
How so?
The E.
100%. Explain.
I mean, it's not exactly what you would do with someone. The right time the E is like, and you're adding on. And
yeah.
If you did this, then you
right.
Do this.
If he was, it's kind of ironic. If he was arguing, then I would not have said vi, I would have just said e, ksivbe.
Yeah.
Right? When you say and if, that sounds more like he's adding on to what Nardai said before, right? We take what Nardai said, and, right, there's an additional chiddush here, right? That you can even apply Nardai even if you only gave him a half, a third, or a quarter. Both are distinct possibilities. Okay.
So Dr. Lashkar just means take the part assigned to you as for yourself.
As opposed to what?
Take it for yourself. Like that's how we would have to translate that according to make it work.
Take it for yourself as opposed to what's the other possibility?
So the Zafi, the Afikanashka, is only referring to that part that you've been given Rashid over.
In Abaye's construct.
Yeah.
Right. You zeal dun bizachi the apic machti
the
nah. Right. Right. Okay. Now by the way, in Abaye's construct, does it sound like we're dealing with more ownership or more shlichus?
Ownership.
Yeah. Right. Again, Abaye seems to be on the ownership side as well. Okay. Next up in the Gemara.
Amar Minmar, I tafas lo makina. If the guy who I was sent to Harsha with the Harsha actually acquired part of it, we don't take away from it.
Right. No, that's a better translation than acquired.
If he
a more violent translation
grasped.
Acquired. Yeah, exactly. Right. If he sees the object for himself. Right. If he sees the object for himself.
Lo mafkina mina. Sees it from who?
Who are the two possibilities?
Either the guy who went to get it from, or from the owner who gave him part
permission to get it.
Permission to get it.
Right.
And that could be totally if there's actually a mahlokas between Abaye and Nardai.
If there's a... Yeah, how so?
Meaning, if you want to read Nardai, when he says you actually the optik the nashka, you actually take it for yourself, and right, he sees it for himself. He was given permission to. If we mean like a buy in this case, bro, he was only given permission to take half of it, or a third, or a quarter. How could he possibly take the rest of it? What mechanism does he require the full?
Okay, well, but why couldn't you just say that in a Hanami, in a case where he was told you can take half of it, then a Maimar says he can take half of it for himself, mm-hmm. And in a case where he's told you can take all of it, then a Maimar says you can take all of it for yourself.
Well, it sounds like he's really... Well, what was he being tough? Well,
He's taking the object, right? He's taking Betsy.
Mm-hmm. I guess you could say that.
Or
just
in a construct of Meth / Revia, we could say that there are four Betsys and he's taking,
mm-hmm.
Right, one... well, really have to have 12 so that we could do a half, a third, and a quarter. Yeah, right, but...
You know, it seems like he's taking the whole thing. Because Rashi says, V'itafash, shliach, misham, ha'amah.
Okay, so...
So he's taking the whole thing from the ha'amah.
Yeah, let's assume that a Maimar is dealing with a different case than Abaye is dealing with. Because that's... Right, Abaye was just telling you an option you have, but the standard case of Harsha is that right, you just write Zildun Vizachi Vyapak Vanashach. That's the standard case of Harsha. And then a Maimar is saying you can seize it. So Rashi brings two views, who you're seizing it from, right? Right. His preferred view is that you're seizing it from the shliya, the mishaleach, actually, right? Let's see. And Rashi the Maskel lo mafkin and mine. So you can't really tell from the first edition, but from Lashon Acher, you can see what the first version was.
Right.
Leo, do you want to take Lashon Acher?
What?
You want to take Lashon Acher,
yeah,
the Lamed Aleph.
Wait, Rashi, right? Nita Fashaliach?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay, sorry, I'm borrowing Lashon Acher. Nita Fashaliach, Lam Lam Shehotzi, the Yifel Atzmo, Lo Makin Amine, Tachon Sati, Katu, Vichilot, the Onim, the Yifel.
Right.
How is that clear?
What's Lashon Acher?
So
general.
What?
I
think it's just, I mean, sometimes maybe, I think it's just a,
just
an alternative. But let's, exactly, so let's read it carefully. So, exactly, so let's just try that part.
Okay, and so if the shaliach took the money, the stuff, that
right,
that he took out.
Right, so lahotzi, who's the hotzi going on?
Him being motzi it from the Ne'eman.
Right. So he was already motzi it from the Ne'eman, and now he is ikvo la'atzma.
He's doing it for himself.
Right. So then who's he, in this version, who's he doing the tfisa against? Is he seizing it from the Ne'eman, or is he seizing it from the owner?
I don't see it as seizing it from the owner. Why is he seizing it from the owner?
I think it has to be seizing it from the owner.
But he just, like, it's like he just took it.
Because he already was motzi from the Nem. I mean, he won.
Seizing in terms of technical seizing, or like seizing, like literally, who is he grabbing it from?
Well, Rashi translated here as ikvo l'atzmo.
Yeah.
So he's holding it for himself.
Yeah. How is that any different than? How is this description different from taking it from what you would think would happen if you were to take it? If it were to be a case of taking it from the Nem.
Because he already, the word motzi, I'm just going to turn off airplane mode.
Sorry.
The word motzi tells me that he...
Yeah,
motzi means lahotzi bevezdin, right? You extract the item in court. So he already won the item in court in Bezdin, right? And then he is subsequently toface.
So that's the process that happens here. So Shaliach goes to Beijing after he has the...
So he goes to Bezdin, he has the Shtar Harsha, he sues the guy who has the object.
He doesn't just go up to the guy.
No, exactly.
Okay.
He wins in Bezdin, very legal, nice, formal process. The Shliach wins in Bezdin.
Okay.
The guy gives the Shliach the object. Now the Shliach is supposed to turn around and give it back to the Morsha.
And then send him away with it.
Exactly.
As opposed to him... As opposed to him being focusing on the guy directly, in which case he just, like, runs up with a star. Like, that's... And... Oh my God, what's the word for outside court? Extrajudicial thing? Like he...
Yeah,
just,
exactly.
Like, he just goes and grabs it. Okay, fine.
Right. So Rashi is preferring the option that a Meimar's Chiddush, that he can keep it for himself.
Okay.
Obviously against the wishes of the Morsha. So how can he do this? How can the Morsha keep it if...
It's his.
It's his, right? So clearly, what's a Meimar assuming about Harsha?
It's about ownership.
It's all about ownership, right? And since he's the owner, since he's an owner, he can now keep it for himself. After all, what did the Shtar Harsha say? Zildun v'zachi v'apik l'nafshach, right? Go keep it. So he's just exerting his rights as a Morsha to keep the object. So far, we have a... So we have a pretty consistent approach, apparently, in the Gemara, right? Because let's just review each step of the Gemara, what each step seems to be saying about ownership. So we have the first version of Nardai, who said, you can't make a Morsha because of Rabbi Yochanan. And we know that Rabbi Yochanan is all about transfer of ownership, of things that are not in your physical possession. So that sounds like we're dealing with ownership. Then we've got to figure out what's going on in the second version of Nardai, right? Why do they disagree? That we got to figure out. Then Nerdai spoke up again, and they told us that you have to write Zildun V'Zachi V'Apakan Avshach, because otherwise the person will tell you you're not a relevant party to the case. Sounds like ownership, right? Then Abaye said, you can if you say you get a half, a third, or a quarter. Fine. And then Amemar said that he can be Toface, and apparently he could be Toface from the Morsha. Right? So all the points in the Gemara so far seem to be pretty clearly pointing towards Bailus, or ownership, except for the Ika Da'amri of Nerdai. In the Ika Da'amri of Nerdai, we just don't know. Okay. Now, along comes Ravashi. By the way, let's remember, right, who are the original Maranim in the beginning of the Gemara? So it's Ravashi and Amemar. Right, so Ravashi and Amemar seem to be involved in the sugya. So Amemar says you can't be... Now, right, Amemar had told Ravashi the reason why Harshad doesn't work. Now, after Amemar says you can do a tfisa, so Ravashi responds, and what does Ravashi say?
No problem,
sorry. No problem. Ravashi Amar.
Ravashi Amar, Kivan Tivei Lei, caused in the Mitani, Min Nina Kibata Alai, everything you request from the judgment, you acquire to Alai, pardon me. Everything I, Mitani, Min Nina Kibata Kibilit Alai. Who's that going to?
I accepted it onto you.
Kiblis Alai. I accept onto myself, right?
Yeah. So anything that I requested, Tony Minina, okay, fine. Anything that I requested from the court, I accept upon myself.
Right. Or really anything which is. Anything which is, they stick in a tough, right? Some of the Gersa say, Demis Anis Mindina.
Yeah.
So I'm not an Aramaic expert, so I don't know the details of this, but
I
basically.
I'm an Aramaic expert.
Well, depends on the tradition of Aramaic. Whatever is answered from the court, I will accept.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, the Morsha, the Marsha is telling the Morsha, right, you go sue in Bezdin. And I am accepting upon myself whatever the verdict of the court is, right? I'm trusting you to go sue in Beis Din, and I'll accept whatever verdict of the court you get. So, why?
Why is he Shliach? Because he never acquires any possessions. Well, that's maybe a technicality, but his only purpose here is to go and, I guess, catalyze the case and to act on his behalf in court, but not actually acquiring on his behalf.
How do we know that's all he said was, I accept whatever the court says. You go sue, and I accept whatever the court says. From there, we know that you weren't making him the owner, you were just making him a shliach. That's Ravashi's argument.
Well, you also use very specific...
How does that make sense?
We use very specific lashon. Man dina ki bilit elai.
Kol demisani mendina, anything which is answered from the court, I accept. So how does that tell me that you only made him a shliach and you didn't make him the owner? You also wrote, zil dun v'zachi v'apik l'nafshach, right? Go judge and take it for yourself. Sounds like I'm making him an owner. Why is he a shliach? Just because I said, I accept whatever you say in court.
Wouldn't you ever give him ownership? The Gemara's point was you had to actually be exact, when you wanted to get the guy some ownership, you actually had to say, Zil Dom Mizaki the Apik.
Okay, so let's see, so you said that. You wrote that.
You didn't write that.
Why not?
Not in this case.
How do you know?
That seems to be the implication.
I didn't think so.
I didn't think so either. But if Ravashi wanted to say that, then we were saying it's possible, but isn't the simple reading of the Gemara that Ravashi says, well, there's another clause in the star, which demonstrates that you're not making him an owner. Well, let's not get so fancy. Let's just figure out, like right now, it's like very simple, like just reading the Gemara. Like, what is Ravashi, how does that line in the star do what Ravashi says it does? What does it mean?
It seems to remove this guy in between from the case.
How so? I accept whatever the court says.
Yeah, I accept what the court says.
Okay.
And so are you. I mean, does it really matter what you do?
I guess. But just like speak out a little more.
I don't know. Black Rashi for some help.
Yeah, he doesn't. It's a little bit surprising. He just tells it to you. He doesn't tell you why. So let's think about it. I don't think it's
common. You could read a quote in the Ta'ani, Mindina, in the I claimed from the court.
But you're not claiming anything. The Morsha is making the claims.
On your behalf, but
okay.
It's your claim.
Okay, how does that help you?
Because it's the thing that he is claiming. It's trying to say that this is his claim. It's not the Morsha's claim. It's my claim.
Okay, in other words, you're demonstrating your continued relevance to the case. Right.
More than just continued relevance, because if you... Well, okay, fine.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Right, but... You know, if I'm transferring ownership and I'm, like, you know, taking myself out of the picture, then why have the line in there about I accept whatever the court says? No offense, but who cares about you, right? You made the Morsha in charge. You're out. So the fact that I still am declaring my relevance, because I will accept whatever this court decides, if he was the full owner, then, you know, you don't get to decide whether you accept it or not. You made him in charge. It's his. So the fact that you're demonstrating your continued, you know, over-lordship, right? Because, you know, I will accept whatever the court decides. So apparently, right, Rav Ashi says, we learn from there that you made him a shliach. And since you made him a shliach, right, you cannot be tofe. The Morsha cannot be toface.
It doesn't seem to me that the zeal case, where you write zeal is the same place where you write, is the same case as where you write the other.
That's possible. That's possible.
They are separated in Gemara.
They are. But
first it's Nahadai, then there's a discussion about Nahadai from Baye, then it's a Maimar.
So,
and this comes onto a Maimar.
So according to you, who is Rav Ashi arguing with?
Seems to be with a
Maimar. Definitely seems to be arguing with a Maimar, but you're claiming he's arguing with more than a Maimar.
No, I'm not saying he's actually arguing with the Nardai.
Sure,
saying he could be discussing this different case.
Nardai said any Harsha that doesn't have Zil Dun Vizachi Rapak Anafshach, Leis Be Meshasha. That's nothing.
Well, my
so,
time up, Mishum Da Amr Lehev, about the Bain.
Right, exactly, because the person who's holding on to the object will say you're irrelevant.
He could say that, I think he will.
If he could, then he...
Okay, yeah.
He could say it, then he will say it.
Okay, so it could be that he is arguing, he's saying he uses Lashon instead. And that this would still maintain your relevance to the case.
Okay, so you're going to say that when Rav Ashi argues with a Maimar, he's not only arguing with a Maimar, he's arguing with Nerdai as well. Okay, possible. Do you feel strongly with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I feel that's a different case.
It's not the same star. What does that mean? Why would you have two different options? Why on earth?
Why would you have two different options?
Yeah, if you don't, if the Marsha doesn't
I mean,
need
you can
to
look at as my focus, how do you go about writing a Harsha, which depends on how you view Harsha.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me.
And then one could say, Rav Ashi could say that you view it as.
Uh huh.
Nehardai says no, you have to view this as bias.
Okay, so you're stipulating a huge machlokas between Nehardai and Rav Ashi about what a Harsha is.
Possibly.
Okay. That's pretty bold. Especially
I mean, that's why I'm stepping back from saying it.
Especially because it's not explicit in the Gemara. So you can say that, but you're going to have to be very bold if you want to say that. So I don't know if you want to say that.
I know. It's what the Gemara is going at.
Okay.
I also kind of see it kind of leads right into this, this Shlichus thing at the end. It's almost works like a segue.
It's more than a segue. It's like a total 180 degree shift, right? And the whole Gemara seems to have been emphasizing bialis, 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 and then all of a sudden Rav Ashi comes in and says, "No, you're a shliach."
Okay, cool.
So let's just finish the Gemara because
okay,
let's give Rav Ashi his full due.
Bika da'ami Shutva Shave.
Ah.
But my Nafkamina, what's that?
Oh, it's time out. So what's the Ikadamri? That's a big Ikadamri.
Yeah, I don't really know where it's going on. Yeah. But there are those who say that you're like a Shave. You share part of it.
So was the line right before that. Said
Ravashi,
since you said this whole thing, Shliach Shavye. Apparently, you only made the Morsha, you're Shliach.
Ikadamri, Shutva Shave. That Ravashi really means you're Shutva.
Right. Rash said you're a partner. Okay, what's the difference between a partner and a Shliach?
Kamina, Limitas Palga. To gain, security change. No, we're good. Yeah, the mitzvah part, but to face half of it. Hilchasa shliach.
Okay, so why is that an afkamina?
Because if you actually own part of it, then you can actually be mitzvah half of it.
If you owned half of it, because you are a shliach.
Makes sense, because if you own half of it, then you already were to face half of it.
If you own half of it. Wait, what?
It's a little confusing, because if you were partial owner, and you're saying, oh, you're a partial owner, now you're being toe-faced half of it, and would you not toe-face the other half? Or the half you already had?
No, if you're a shaliach...
No, but you're not shaliach, you're a shaliach.
It's something bad, but that's an argument like that. If you're a shaliach,
right.
you can only see is like up to half of like...
Well, if you're a shaliach, then you can see how much?
And
you guess the whole thing.
You shouldn't be.
No, none. Right? That was Ravashi's original line.
If you're a Shutav, then you have access to half of it. Yep. So thus, you take half of it, it's yours.
No, the whole thing has
shared ownership, you and the guy.
Yes, but then you weren't toe faced after you already had half of it.
No.
You were toe faced and didn't need
right.
to be done.
That's what you're
no,
logic, very good.
I think you're being like, to a diagonal term, like, oh, like, how can you toe face something that's already yours? Because.
But you can't.
No, but you're being toe faced it in the sense that. You're not supposed to be taking this. Like, this is something that's going outside and he's scared of the law.
Right, exactly.
It's not like you're being... Yeah. Like,
I'm not supposed to be taking it, but as you said, I have access to it, and so I'm pressing my advantage, right, which the Morsha had to give me, the Marsha. The Marsha had to give me that advantage so that I could go get the object. Now I'm pressing that advantage to seize half of it for myself. Right, because, exactly, I was given access to half of the object. Right, so that's the two versions of Ravashi. The second version of Ravashi would make us much happier because it would fit much more nicely with the rest of the Gemara, right? The rest of the Gemara seemed to be implying there's bailus transfer involved in Harsha'ah. And then if Ravashi says he's a Shutav, then, you know, Shalom Yisrael, everything's great. The only problem is, next line of the Gemara, Helchot HaShliach Shavye. Right? We pass and he's a Shliach. So, right, and as Rashi says, that means that you cannot do tfisa. Okay, by the way, does Rashi think that Rav Ashi is arguing with Nardai?
No.
How do you know?
I think that who's arguing with who?
Like you. Does Rashi think that Rav Ashi is arguing with Nardai?
I think he's arguing with Amemar.
He's only arguing with Amemar.
Because he says Naman.
There are a couple
I'm
of
not even referring to the guy because it's from the guy that showed the Akhirovna thing. Is
honestly,
excellent question.
It's arguing with the Mimar,
like,
that maybe is.
He's using a non-technical version of
excellent. Yeah. Awesome. Totally on the ball. But yeah, Rashi's actual sheet is unclear. But what does he think about Rav Ashi versus Nehardai?
Yes.
Unclear. Well, it depends.
Well,
who
very
you
clear.
Say a Mimar is...
Yeah, yeah.
Where
are you quoting?
No, it's exactly that.
So what? That's why Ravashi. That's why Rashi. He throws in those three words to tell you, don't think Ravashi is arguing with Nehardai.
He's only arguing with
Amemar.
They look like different prices.
No, Rashi's explaining to you he's polygon Amemar and Amemar only. And the proof for it is the last Rashi in the sugya, Hachi Garcinan. When Rashi says, "Ahak garsinan the hilchas a shliach shavye," and what's the nafkamina of shliach shavye? Says Rashi, "Lo shakamidi, you can't do tfisa." Right. So Rav Ashi saying that you're a shliach takes out a memar about shliach about tfisa.
Then what does it mean?
It does not. Ah, so that's what we got to figure out, right? If we're saying, how can we balance Rav Ashi with Nehardai? That's a huge question. They seem to be saying opposite things. So how can we pass on like both of them? Okay, so that's our Gemara. over, right, the impression of our Gemara seems to be bilus, 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 and then we get to Ravashi, and all of a sudden, shlichus, now we got to figure out how much Ravashi is arguing with, and how much is he not. There's also the Gemara in Shavuos. So let's take a minute to look at what's going on in the Gemara in Shavuos, and we'll see what implications we can get out of Shavuos. Okay, so it's the Mishnah of the Gemara on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis.
This is really complicated.
Yeah, you need background.
Yeah.
All the cases.
you need background. So I tried. If you have relevant testimony, then you must give it. Right. That's halach in the Torah, and if you, and that's right, that's one of the three shvuos midareisa, is if the litigant calls on you to testify, and you claim you don't know any testimony, you take a shvu in Bezdin, and if your oath was false, you bring a karban ola viorid. Right? So the Mishnah is talking about kind of funky cases of karban shvuah. Right, because a normal case of a karban shvuah would be, right, hey, you saw me lend Reuven $100. Come and testify for me in Beis Din. Right, and then he says no. So the cases of the Mishnah are not cases of money, right? They're cases of, at least the initial ones, are cases of personal status, right? Those are the first cases. So, The Gemara kicks off relating to this Mishnah on the line of where the Mishnah said, right, testify that Ish Ploni is a Kohen, that Ish Ploni is a Levi. So the Gemara jumps up and they say, right, that the implication of the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says, you can't create a Karban Shvua when you say testify that so-and-so is a Kohen. So that implies that there, too, the only problem is that it's a personal status case. But if you would demand a shvua that so-and-so owes so-and-so money, that would create a karban shvua, even though the litigants themselves are not calling for testimony. Right? That's the implication of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, right, take a shvua that ish ploni is a kohen, pater, oh, right? But take a shvua that ish ploni owes money is chayev. So the Gemara says that's a big problem, because later on in the Mishnah we learn that we have a requirement of ad sheyishma'u mipi hatoveya, that you cannot be machayev witnesses a karban shvua unless you are the actual litigant. So what's the case where someone says, right, come testify that ish ploni owes money to someone else, and that creates a karban shvua? How could that happen? The witnesses have to deny testimony to the Toveya himself, not to some third party who's saying ish ploni and ish ploni. Right, so the Gemara quotes Shmuel, and Shmuel says, I'll tell you the answer. What's the case where you can have a third party who calls on you to testify?
Harsha.
Harsha. Harsha is a third party. Okay. So the simple interpretation, if you need to hear mi pi hatoveya, how does harsha allow you to do that? The pashtas?
The person who's coming to harsha is a toveya.
100%. How so? Because
he has some bilus,
right? He's a bilum in the case, right? And therefore he's considered mi pi hatoveya. Okay. Then the Gemara objects. Gemara says, how can you say it's a case of harsha? You can't do harshas because the Amri Nardai Lokas Nirokas Amataltali. So Nardai said I can't write a harsha, so that can't be the solution. And answers the Gemara, no. When did Nardai say you can't do harsha?
Only
in case he's kofair. But if he's not kofair, right, Zaygazant, you can totally write a harsha. Okay, so which version of Nardai do we see in the Paschal like from this Gemara? 100%. Right? The Gemara is quoting the second version of Nardai over here. And there's another place in the Gemara where it does it also, right? If you go in Bechoros, you'd see that happen as well. So A, this Gemara seems to tell me that we paskin like the second version of Nardai. And B, what does Harsha allow you to do here?
Take ownership.
Apparently. Seemingly. It allows you to make witnesses be chai of a carbon shua. Right, you are considered mipi hatoveya, even according to Nehrda, the second Nehrdai. Right, when we saw the two Nehrdais, we said, okay, the first Nehrdai seems to think that Harsha involves ownership, because the first Nehrdai said you have a Rabbi Yochanan problem here. The second Nehrdai was kind of a blank slate, right? Because they said Nehrdai is not a Rabbi Yochanan is not a problem. We don't know why it's not a problem, but for some reason Rabbi Yochanan's not a problem. Oh, maybe Rabbi Yochanan is not a problem because there's no ownership transfer here. All there is pure shlichas. Doesn't seem to be the case because it's the second Nehardai who are saying that you are considered mi piha toveya if you are a morsha, right? Okay, so that's an important Gemara to deal with. Right? Anybody who wants to say that Harsha it's still shlichas is going to have to explain to me how they read this Gemara in Shavuos. This Gemara in Shavuos seems to be a proof for a bialos. Now, what's the ultimate proof that Harsha is really shlichas only?
The Gemara.
Yeah, right. Three words, right? Hilchos shliach shavi, right? So all around, it's extremely unclear. Extremely unclear. Okay, we've got 6 minutes, so let's try to blitz. What?
The Balhamar.
Yes, let's go with the Balhamar. Right. And I was kind of egging Adam on a little bit. I'm like, really? Are you going to be so bold? Are you going to be so bold to say that Rav Ashi argues not only with Ramimar, but Rav Ashi agrees with the whole Gemara? So one person we know is very bold.
I didn't even see the
Balhamar. Oh.
It was so great. Oh,
short and sweet.
It was so great.
Balhamar is definitely bold, right? Here, I'll fill us in.
Oh, wait, 1 second. I don't
know. No problem. Yeah, take your time.
I'll take the
time.
Before we
can.
Okay. It's really hard to find. Good luck, guys.
wait. I may have sent it to it without even trying.
I emailed you guys. I think it's like in the old riff, it's like Chaf. In the old riff, yeah.
Because it has the top, more top than top, and the other top. Wait, so what's the Ramaska? The Ramaska?
It says Mashka to Harav.
Yeah. Mashka to Harav Rabbi Avram. Who's Harav Rabbi Avram?
The Ravid.
So, right, the Balmar's lifelong sparring partner.
Is there a lot of
Nir Eli
or
Nir Eli?
Sorry,
what?
No,
Nir Eli.
Is it just
Nir
Eli or
is
it
Nir
Eli?
In
my Gemara, they wrote it out as Nir Eli.
Okay.
Wait, it's on our
Gemara,
though?
Yeah, here, let's try.
It says Nir Eli.
Because I don't think the Bob Moore necessarily matches up with the riff in this version.
It
so I'm going from the beginning.
Right here.
Oh, found it.
It's really, really.
Oh, there. It doesn't match up.
Omar, right the way.
That's interesting.
Bingo. Yeah.
Excellent.
Oh, that's so odd. It's like so off from the rest of the
year.
Yeah. Can't believe me. Okay, so what's he got to say?
I'll just go from Ellen and Ellie.
Yeah, exactly. Right, so what the Ravid said makes no sense. The Ravid said is total garbage.
So rather, what's happening in Gemara is that Rav Ashi is being cholek on everything that Nehrdai was saying, that when the guy with the Harsha is like a Shaliach. Helkach lo baya zildun, and thus you don't need zildun. Oh, sorry, exactly back to the Kanashakai. Vafilu hafli lo matzi lo vemar le, hafla bel very midi. And so even so, you might say this. Well, then how wouldn't the guys be able to say like blah blah blah? And it's like no, he still wouldn't be able to say that. The shlichus shalat on kvoto, because once you're shliach, you're like the guy himself, and then obviously you are accountable to him because it's like the guy himself is coming to you.
Exactly.
Lo shenad kafrei, lo shenad lo kafrei.
Smart guy.
Right. So what all you've done, and so the Baal Gemara does, it's a brilliant way to read the Gemara. It's basically jujitsu, right? Where you kind of use the momentum of it against itself, right? The whole Gemara implied bialus, bialus, bialus. The last line of the Gemara implies shlichus. So what does the Baal Gemara say? He says exactly, that's the whole point.
It gets rid of every single problem.
Yeah, right? The Gemara had been assuming bialus the whole way through. Then along comes a Ravashi at the very end, and Ravashi says, no, right? You have to shift your perspective. Harsha is really just pure, unadulterated, 100% golden shlichus, right? And so, yeah, that doesn't fit with the rest of the Gemara, because it's not supposed to fit with the rest of the Gemara. I throw out the rest of the Gemara. He's only a shliach. Why is he still a relevant party? Because he's not an owner, but we say shlucho shalom kamoso, right? So the agent of the person is like himself. We know shlucho shalom kamoso, right? And so that's gonna solve everything. Now, by the way, now we can get rid of the concern for Mechsi, you know, what about Nardai's concern about Mechsi Kashikra? What do you mean Mechsi Kashikra? I'm not transferring any ownership of some phantom object. I'm just appointing a shliach, right? I'm just appointing an agent. And you can always appoint agents to do things, right?
And that's why it doesn't matter if he was kofar or not, because once you're shliach, it's just irrelevant completely. Like,
yeah.
I didn't really understand how that was just not... Because normally that's not a concern that we have with shliach, so why would it be a concern here now if he's really like a shliach? Like, that whole... Just because if we're rejecting the whole shita, then...
So, very good. Probably because we'll say that, right, Mechsi Kashikra is a little bit unclear what was Mechsi Kashikra. You could say what's Mechsi Kashikra is you're doing a fake kinyan, right? You are bequeathing ownership. It's like Sykes-Picot, right, where the British and the French are, you know, they're sitting together and they're dividing up the Middle East. They just haven't won World War I yet, right? So, you know your history. It doesn't work out that simply for them. When Turkey decides we're not going to be cut up. But so I can understand, right, where the Marsha and the Morsha are dividing up assets and transferring ownership of something that doesn't exist. That's just Mechsi Kashikra. But you want to make an agent to just, you know, go sue for you? It happens all the time, right? Maisim Chol Yom, we appoint the shliach. We're not going to call anything there Mechsi Kashikra. Okay. Now, what this also gets into is, right, there's a bit of a historical aspect of this whole sugya we have to recognize, which all the Rishonim talk about, which is, right, pshat in the Gemara is that you cannot do harsha'as to get metaltalin, right? But Rishonim, right, talking about Tosos, say, wait a second, right, we all do that, right? Ma'isim b'chol yom, that everybody's using harsha'as to get their loans back, right? So, what? Yeah, so we'll get to them next week, I guess. But what the Baal Hamar has done is, in one fell swoop, he's solved your whole problem, right? In the end, we think that harsha is shlichus, and you can do it for everything, anything you want, right? So we've solved the problem of the you know, minhag problem of how are you doing this? Because in the end, it turns out we can. You've solved the problem of all the contradictions in the Gemara. It's not a contradiction; it's a machlokas, and we paskin like the last position. One problem he's going to have is, what does the Baal Hamar do with the Gemara in Shavuos? According to Baal Hamar, how can a Morsha be considered Mipi HaToveya? So what's he probably going to have to answer?
Midin
Shlichus, right? I'm going to, right? Shlichus on Kamoso on steroids, right? When I say Shlichus on Kamoso, I really, really mean Kamoso. Right, I take a very strong perspective of shlichus, either that or I take a weak perspective of mipi atoveya. Right, but I would think more likely you take a strong perspective of shlichus, and that's going to solve all your problems. Right, hakuna matata. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, that's going to explain why you have no problem with holding like Rabbi Yochanan and holding you can do harshas. Rabbi Yochanan said, I can't do things, I can't transfer ownership of stuff that's not in my possession. How can I do a harsha? So says the Baal Amar at the very end, no problem. There's no transfer ownership here. So Rabbi Yochanan is happy, Ravashi is happy, we're happy because we can all do our harshas, and that's his. That's the Baal Hamar's presentation of the Gemara, right? The radical shlichus position. Okay, so we still have to talk about Tosos, which is a little bit of a slightly more complicated shlichus position, but like, yeah, we'll work through it. And then we get to see the Rishonim coming up, who are going to be a lot of fun. They're just awesome. Okay. Who did I put on after Tosfos to see in the Baal Amar? What's how did I sequence?